You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, Matt is on the testosterone shots this morning. Love it. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk, September 11th. And sending the thoughts and prayers out there, and good vibes to our good friends that are going to be doing the Tower Challenge over at the TCC this morning. And BBG will be there watching you do it. How many steps could BBG do?
As many as he wants.
Okay.
I think we're at KVOA's there. 1030 The Voice is there, and I think we're going to hear from them today.
I've heard this. We have the dulcet tones of Dr. Gehringer. Is he over there?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
And Charles, I believe, if I remember correctly.
I love it.
Definitely Greg.
I missed the pre-production meeting this morning, so I have no idea what's going on around here, so which is awesome. What else is going on? We're going to reschedule the Copal happy hour, so don't go to Copal on the 25th. But I'm working on an emergency fill-in. So we're still working on something for that week, but don't go to Copal.
The Mint?
No, or the...
Kivery?
Kivery. Maybe the Meat Rack for a happy hour.
Yeah, I think they're closed.
What?
I think.
Come on. How about the place downtown with the bad language in it on 4th Avenue? We go there.
I'm busy.
Or what's that other commie bar on 4th? What's the one with the... It'll come back to me. Anyway, Wednesday show, very busy. Dan Shearer, bottom of the hour. Colleen and Wendell will be here with ArcPoint. Love talking to those two. And then we have Peter Norquist will be here for Libertarian Hugs, Happiness, and Hugging Hour. So...
Okay.
We're going to be doing cry therapy like they did with Meatloaf and Fight Club. We'll be fine. Love talking to Peter. And actually, since the last time Peter was here, TUSD, of course, did pull the trigger on those overpriced lithium battery bombs called electric school buses. So I'm sure we'll talk about that and other things. So... there was a debate last night, as they like to say. And I don't watch these things live anymore. It's not necessary to ruin my evening by watching debates, State of the Unions, or any speeches. So I just whip it out on the old YouTube this morning, and I went through critical portions of the debate. And did not blow 90 minutes of my life. And plus 6:30, that's late. My God. Had a big day yesterday. Had a meeting in the morning, and then I had lunch with Austin Vonderhaden. We took him to It's Greek to Me yesterday for flaming cheese, gyro, and moussaka.
Cool.
And then we went to...
hot, as the case may be.
That's true. And then we went to the Saddlebrook Republicans to a strong group of 100-plus strong... to do our presentation on propositions. So that was that's a winner. Remember, tomorrow's all Proposition Thursday.
Dicey proposition.
Very dicey, absolutely. Live without a net, as they say, or something like that.
But, or Frankie.
So that, thank you. That and Schweikert, that's what I'm doing tomorrow. So you'll have an audio representation of... all these propositions. I'm going to take the notes that Austin and I have worked on together, and that'll be put with recommendations on the DSimoneHQ.com blog.
All right.
So, and again, I'm always touched and honored by your faith in some of the stuff that we offer up as recommendations. During the primary, over 1,000 of you, 32 of you, accessed our primary recommendations. So, I mean, she's only got three more months as a state senator. So,
Baskin Robbins got nothing on us.
Thank you. We're the Baskin Robbins of audiences. We only have 31 flavors. I love it. So for all of you who said that Donald Trump debated three people last night, the answer is true.
Well, it's four. He also debated himself, unfortunately.
There's some truth to that, too.
Sometimes he can't. God bless him, but sometimes he just can't get out of his own way.
I was talking to Brother Joe on the way in this morning about this, and I came to a point where, why do we need moderators? Okay?
Yes.
What the hell's a David Muir anyway? Okay? I like how they said on the thing about the...
Well, he's 2014's, as Hugh Hewitt pointed out, he's 24, or one of his guests pointed out, he's 2014's sexiest man alive, according to People magazine, so, you know...
You were 2015.
What?
Matt Neely was sexiest man alive.
I do not remember that.
Oh, of course you were. You were on a bender that year. But I will tell you that
huffing glue.
Hold on.
Now my last year.
The he kept on referring to himself as Hunter S. Thompson. It was very weird.
Let's watch out for the ether.
So, who has any integrity in journalism anymore other than Dan Shearer? Right? Dan Shearer is the only guy I could pick to be a journalist, to be a moderator right now. That's where I'm at. That'll be my thing. The next, if they do a next president, I want Dan Shearer to be the moderator. Right? But if we can't get Dan, we have this thing called technology. Right? So this is how we do debates from now on. They're at their podiums, right? And the question comes up on the screen. What are you going to do about the economy, right? Give us the state of the economy and what you're going to do to make it better, right? And it goes, President Trump, go. Beep! And you have 60 seconds. Then he has 60, and then they shut his mic off, and then it goes, Kamala Harris, go. Beep! 60 seconds. President Trump, 30-second rebuttal. Beep! Kamala, 30-second rebuttal. Beep! Next question. I don't need David Muir. And I forgot the other lady's name already. Does it really matter? Okay? When they said, because they were ready for cats and geese and the Haitians, right? And they literally said, we talked to the city manager.
Yeah. And that was one of Trump's greatest comebacks, because he basically said, well, of course, that's what the city manager would say. Oh, we got no problems here. There's nobody eating a game that they caught in the park.
I thought about like this. It's like someone mentions in one of these debates that, well, you know, one of your closest allies, Raheena Romero, her city has unbelievable crime off the wall. Well, we talked to the mayor and the city manager, and they said everything's great.
She says it's improving. It's getting a lot better.
We talked to Captain Foster, and he said the crime is dropping. I'm telling you, man, technology, that's all you had to do. Beep, go. Beep, go. Sergio's right. I was thinking the shanty. That's right. That's the one I was thinking about. You're correct, Sergio. Thank you. Beep. Mercy me. All right. So, bottom of the hour, Dan Shearer. Wendell and Colleen Arkpoint will be here at 7:07. Then Peter Norquist. And then on Jump in Tucson with the great Grant Kruger, he has former state senator, Vince Leach. And they're going to talk about the race in LD-17 and also talk about how much money their opponents have raised, because, of course, a bunch of them had to blow their money in these contested primaries. So that's going to happen on Jump in Tucson after Food for Thought with Grant Kruger. So, I already dropped the news that CJ is doing a restaurant in the former Chaco's area there, just north of Mama Luisa's, Ham Bones. Comfort food. It's going to be kind of a, as we like to say, cook slow, served quickly. So That's happening just north of the base on Craycroft. So we got a little bit more to go. Look at that. You're putting Grant's Food for Thought segment. That's beautiful on the promo for Jump in Tucson. So let's go to break. If you have any comments about the blank show of a debate yesterday, give us a call, 790-2040. Today's bump battle. Now, I'm going to tell you, Duran Depeche Mode was heavy battle. I think that's our most heavily contested battle.
It's a slugfest.
That was way a slugfest. All right. And then when that person bit the other person's ear, that was Mike Tyson. So we're doing Daryl Hall and the other guy versus Paul Simon and the other guy. I just figured let's have duos where no one really cares about the second guy other than their family. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Daryl Hall and the other guy versus Paul Simon and the other guy. This is going to be a colossal clash. Colossal. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's see. John Holden, get Max Headroom to host your tech debate. Again, I don't need these people moderating anymore. We got techno. I don't even. This is not even an AI function. This is just a hard computer function. This one's easy. Bill, as the debate was a crap show for most persuadables, I'm not sure it changed anything for how many persuadables they're actually tuned in. I'm going to tell you something, Bill. You're tickling something in my brain here. The persuadables. What was the biggest factor in the election with persuadables over the last 72 hours? You know what I'm going to tell you? Way bigger than this crap show on ABC, because no one, again, those persuadables aren't watching it. It was cat and goose memes. They have flooded the internet like you wouldn't believe. That has done more to get in the brain of the persuadable that's just sitting there thumb scrolling than anything David Muir could muck up on ABC News. I mean, I think my favorite one, I mean, this one was just chef. I understand the David Muir talked to the city manager in Ohio, so you know it's been solved. But does everyone remember the horrible TV show Alf from the 80s? And there's a picture of Alf, because Alf as an alien life form, Alf. Like to eat cats. And so it says, remember when illegal aliens who ate cats was fiction? Good times. I mean, that's a chef's kiss right there. I'm going to tell you, that meme has done more in persuadable world than anything that happened last night. And what did we learn last night? I keep quoting Ben Carson, right? I'm from the Tucker appearance. It's the media versus the average American. That's what happened. And ABC News rose to the challenge. Oh, and here's the first, when you watch the first, what was the first question? First question was economy, right? Did you see Kamala almost bludgeon herself to death with her own hands? Remember I told you yesterday, the poker hand, the more those two hands are up and she's talking, she's totally horse crapping you. She was in high bullcrap mode yesterday. I did like when Trump said, I'm going to send her a MAGA hat because she keeps stealing all my positions. That was a cute thing. Actually, in the end, the best thing Trump did was probably that line, and his closing statement was good too. But again, I don't need moderators. I guess I got to thank Candy Crowley soiled herself with this the last time.
Come on with all the fact checking, right? If you're going to do it, but they shouldn't be doing it at all. That's what after the debate is for.
You are correct.
Okay, but if you're going to do it, at least, you know, fact check both sides when they tell whoppers.
The other thing is, it just makes it unwatchable.
Right. I mean, there's conversations between Trump and Muir, and it's just, it was ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. They just soiled themselves.
All right, let's do the rundown. I like the check this on from Not to Be, the 1995 video where Kamala Harris is asked if she's Willie Brown's daughter. I thought that was at a public event. The best. Just the best. They were just work associates. Now this one gets, I'm going to give a pre-scream on this one. Scientists have discovered that the dye in Doritos can make mice skin transparent.
Isn't that Kamala's favorite food?
Is she a Dorito girl? Wow. Erin Burnett.
You know, that's the only coverage they've gotten. They can't expose her positions on anything because, they, you know, who knows? But boy, on food, on snack food, she loves Doritos.
Well, she's, this is to be the first time in her life.
Oh,
she's,
hey, I'm Tim Walls. I'm bringing her some Doritos. Look at me. I'm a good vice presidential candidate.
If she keeps eating it, then this will be the closest she'll ever be to being actually transparent. Zinga.
Thank you.
Thank you. We might listen to Erin Burnett from CNN as she finds out live on television that Kamala argued for taxpayer-funded gendered surgeries for illegal immigrants. We're going to get to this witness at a House committee putting this lady from this Veronica Escobar in her place. It's all of these women whose their kids have been victims of criminal illegal aliens. And this woman Escobar gets there and says, oh, you guys are just, you're just here to be exploited. And this one Hispanic lady, what's her name? Aguirre, she goes after her in the committee meeting, and it's just April Aguirre, crime victim advocate. Wild. Dennis Prager, you hate Trump, so what? ? We'll get to that. Eric Swalwell has complete meltdown. This is, of course, Feng Feng's boyfriend and Ruben Gallego's best. Let's go inspect slave labor camps in Qatar, buddy, about the Trump cat and goose memes, which I thought was just beautiful. Again, that's the winner this week. It's not the debate. It's the cat and goose memes. I'm telling you.
Can't argue with you.
We're going to get to this story about the Trump people are going to prepay for police and stuff. There's a paragraph at the end of the news story that is going to, we're going to play Sideshow Bob hard. All right, Danny Shearer coming up next. One of our greatest bump battles, Daryl Hall and the other guy versus Simon Paul Simon and the other guy. This one is, they're duking it out right now. This is, wow. This is like Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 2. That's how big this is. Let's go to the beautiful dulcet tones of Greg Gerringer, who is out at the 9/11 Tower Challenge. Greg, as we say, give me your Brent Busburger. Set the scene.
You are looking lost. No, we are here, and it is bustling this morning. Of course, everybody's gathering on the TCC floor, getting ready to do the steps, which, you know, there were 2,071 steps that the first responders dealt with in the 110 stories of the World Trade Center on that fateful day 23 years ago. And so we're seeing a lot of first responders here. And we're going to see guys, you know, some firemen in full gear climbing those stairs. What's very sombering, though, is around the edges of the seating, they have photos of each and every fallen first responder on that day. And I got to say, you know, it brought some tears. Not to get into a long thing, but I spend a lot of time thinking about that night before and some of those hardworking guys, like the Giants played Monday Night Football that night and lost to the Broncos. And I just thought of those guys, you know, going to bed, getting up the next morning on a normal Tuesday and what they dealt with. And this event does a tremendous job honoring them and raising money because 100% of the profits go to first responder and military charities. They have raised $500,000 since the inception of the event, which our own Ben Bueller Garcia is so heavily involved in. So if you are here, please come by and say hi to Charles Heller and myself, and we'll check in a little while.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the update. That's our friend Greg Gerringer over at the Tucson Convention Center reporting live. We rarely have any – we have no budget for this usually. This is our entire on-location budget is getting blown right now with Greg calling us. We're done for the rest of the year. Don't ask for any more of this.
And it's 911towerchallengefoundation.org if you'd like to help.
Absolutely. All right. Is Danny around? Oh,
does this answer your question?
My Lord. Here it is. I'm going to be quiet while Marty sings a little bit. All right, it's time to head down this old I-19. Talk to
the
our
metric highway.
The metric highway to find out if it's true that a pickleball shaped car ran into the front of a Viagra superstore in Green Valley.
That's a rumor. Hey,
pickleball is almost yesterday. Okay,
we
were this week at a pop up tennis event, and so we're gonna look into pop-up tennis and see exactly what that's trying to accomplish down here. But it's growing in popularity. And by the way, let me in the vein of the 9/11 stair challenge, mention that at 7 o'clock the Santa Rita Fire District, formerly the Green Valley Fire District, is holding a ceremony at one of their fire stations that we will have a reporter at here at 7 a.m.
Well, look at this. We're all blowing our budgets on this, which is great.
Yeah, it's worth it.
So. This whole pop-up tennis, they're so pissed off that pickleball is kicking tennis's rear end that I feel like there's some sort of George Soros-backed effort to try to kill pickleball here. That's what I'm thinking. It's like the MacArthur Foundation of tennis. That's what I think.
It'll never happen, but it certainly does have a lot of people curious, and so we're going to introduce it to our people once we figure out exactly what it is, because we're not quite sure.
They're just doing tennis on a small court, basically. It's kind of what it is.
But isn't that a little dangerous? I mean, you know, the ball can go quickly, so we'll see if it's just that. So.
Well, that's another thing we can play together, and you can cheat by giving me some lady with horrible gout or something like that in the middle of the...
We both might be past our prime. It might be just time to stick out and stay to the sidelines. I don't know.
Don't drag me into your hole.
What I love about pickleball is that once money was introduced and you had these tournaments, now boom, the average age went from like 97 down to 27, and you have these tournaments and they're on the sports shows and everything, and there's pickleball getting to be big money.
So Mark and I try to play at least once a week, right? And so we get there earlier than anyone else, but then by the time we're leaving, it's all the courts are packed in Oral Valley, and it's all 30 to 40 year old millennial doofy kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is big because it's fun. It's fast paced, and if you can get a court, I'd try it out.
Yeah, Oral Valley underbuilt with four courts. They're underbuilt, man. Already.
Oh man. Oh yeah. You need 10 times that. And I'm not kidding.
You are correct. So you went to the Copper World hearing last night. Is that where you went to?
Yeah, it was a public hearing. It was really part two. They had a community meeting back in August, and these things last about 3 hours. And last night was the public hearing on the air quality permit. And walked in, I was a little surprised. I was about 15 minutes late. There was probably 250 people there. And I would say half of them belong to unions who clearly were tipped off that, hey, there's a meeting, you want to go to this. Yes. Several unions, and they spoke. And the other half of the crowd, which was the Save the Scenic Santa Rita crowd, looked genuinely shocked that there are actually people in this area who support mining. The looks on their faces was...
Yeah, it's like the Gainful Employment Union.
Yeah. That was brought up a time or two. People say, you know what, for generations our family have supported itself on mining. And so it was a really interesting back and forth. I would say it was not a good night for Save the Scenic Santa Rita's, because they when you lead with your heart on matters like this, you always lose. And because this is not decided on emotion. This is decided on the laws and the rules that are in place. And they, the project, Copper World Project, which is owned by Hudbay out of Canada, recently received its aquifer permit, which is a big deal. And this is the last big state permit it needs, the air quality one. And what these people are forgetting is that those of us in Green Valley and Saurita have lived literally a stone's throw from mining for decades. And so a lot of the concerns they were bringing up, you know, that all the children are going to be infected with lead poisoning and the, you know, the acid rain. And one actually brought up that.
Did someone really say acid rain?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's they have different terms. Toxic. I can't remember what it was, but I've got it all written down. So it was interesting to see these things thrown up there, and I'm glad they're talking about them. But when you base something on emotion in a situation like this, it's just not going to fly. One person, I think he's the head of the Save the Scene of Santa Rita, said, you know, I have some friends, and they built their dream house out there, and now they're going to look out the back window and see this huge mine. Well, guess what? If you buy near an open piece of property, I think I'd ask who owns it. That, to me, is the lesson there, you know? I mean, why are we supposed to shut down a mine project because these people bought land and didn't know that a mining company was right next to them? And so that's the kind of stuff that I get it. This is emotional, but that's not how it's going to be decided. And they had absolutely, really no case to present last night. It was interesting to watch.
Well, and again, there's no answer from all of these lefties when it comes to, I know there's NIMBYism, right? But then there's this thing from the left that we can't do mining, even though we want renewable lithium batteries and electric cars. So again, we're going to keep having this conversation. We'd rather have it have children slave mining it in Indonesia in the worst possible way for the environment than having a high-tech mine that doesn't do that. And that's the part that's also hilarious.
Well, and that was just another odd thing that Save the Scenic Santa Rita is, again, not one of their finer moments. And they have a really well put together website if you ever want to go on there. But this is not a good thing because the man from that group stated that, yes, right now we do not have a need for copper. But yes, in the future, there's going to be a much greater demand for copper. But that doesn't mean we need more mines. Well, okay. I'm not quite sure where that's going. Where are you going to get it? And they're going to claim that current mines in the United States, and there aren't many of them, are operating under capacity. Well, again, this is not decided on whether or not we need copper. This is decided on whether they have a legal right to do and can clear the hurdles to get these permits to open this mine. So they're throwing these arguments there that were just not landing.
I'm just trying to remember before we go to break. Isn't there a classic Ray Carroll rant with profanity about the mine? Wasn't that from like?
Yeah. Yes, for quite a while ago, and this Ray was always surprised because as a Republican, he came out opposed to the mine. It was in his supervisor district when he was here at the time, and he has been pretty vocal about it. Still is, you know, just personally because as a judge, people don't care what he thinks about that. But yeah, there is again though. This is emotion, and this is not what it's all about. And I'll tell you what, there was a very unfortunate moment last night. A woman from Save the Scenic Santa Rita's went up there and she said that all the unions had been suggested that they'd all been paid by HUDBAY to be there. And so she comes back into the crowd and I track her down, tap her on the shoulder. And I said, where's your evidence? And she said, well, I don't have any. Why would you go up there and say this when you have no evidence? Well, it's just how they operate. And then later that night, last night, I got an email from her saying I was speaking personally and not for Save the Scenic Santa Rita. No,
yeah.
When you go in front of a group and say you're speaking for this is the old I shouldn't have said that line. But again, this is the depths that they will go to emotionally to try to get something canceled. And so
this is what happens when a real reporter shows up and says, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah, where's your evidence on that? And there's a couple of other things she said, which I challenged her with, and she just collapsed like a house of cards. And I'm not. All I'm saying is that let's have an honest discussion out there, and then people can decide how they will about this this mine. So, but that it was not an honest discussion from their standpoint last night. That's too bad. And trust me, I wish the mine would go away too, but that's not the point. I mean, it's right in the middle of this real big, beautiful area that people used to hike and enjoy and whatever. But the fact is that it's owned by a company that wants to mine it, and legally they have a right to do that.
All right, hold that thought, Dan Shearer. We're going to go visit some great sponsors. We're hanging out with Dan from the Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, WIC Communications. They're going to send in the Flagstaff on the coldest day humanly possible, I think, what's going to happen. So he'll be up there on January 27th, as I've talked to Mr. Wick. So get your mucklucks out, baby. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 6:50 in the morning, bump battle. Two guys dragging the other guy along in their band. Hall and the other guy, plus Paul Simon and the other guy. One of our greatest battles. Tomorrow, Metallica versus Perry Como. It's going to be one of our best ones ever. So, Dan.
I want Poison versus Karen Carpenter.
Oh,
all right.
Now, I know I can get 9 songs out of Karen Carpenter. I don't know if I can get 9 songs out of Poison.
But great hair. Great hair.
Are there any Poison like you dressed up for Halloween in those days with that kind of like a wig or anything that I should know about?
No, but when we were homeschooling our kids, we did one of those things where will a plant grow better when it's exposed to classical music or, you know, hair metal?
Oh.
And but the problem was Dad, that would be me, would not allow hair metal in the house. So it that experiment had to be conducted in the hot garage, which probably affected things a little bit. Of course, the classical plant won by a long shot. But we did go out and buy a Poison, I think it was a cassette. Yeah.
Hold on. Rahina Romero's here. I condemn Dan Shearer for putting his children in a hot garage where heat is killing everyone. Thank you.
Or insisting that they get a good education. Yeah, I know.
I implore Dan to build to grow 100 million trees inside his garage. So we got this thing back from Chris Mays about the Nanos investigation, which is, I feel like it's like there's no criminal wrongdoing, but it looks like he broke 4 of their own rules, and one of their own rules looks like it's criminal wrongdoing to me. So what did you get from this?
Yeah, exactly what you got from it. And so so no one's going to go to jail over this, but they should look at their policies and whether they're implementing them. And this comes from that awful rape case, which is still in the works, involving a deputy and her superior at a party. And did what was going on in that room, and did people know about it, and did they, you know, not call 911 or cover it up or whatever? And so it's we've written a little something on it after that ruling came out. And again, it's just another someone dropped the ball here at the sheriff's department is really what it amounts to.
But you say drop the ball. One of the things they say is it looks like someone tampered with evidence. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how is that just a rule break? Is that like, you know, someone left a sweaty towel on the bench press machine at the sheriff's department?
Right.
I mean, that's real stuff.
Actionable, basically. Yeah, I know. So it's I read that report and I thought, you know, from Mays, and I thought, I don't know if this is over yet, but of course it came out at a very tricky time as he is in this locked in this battle with Heather Lappin, which oddly enough, down here I have received more and more comments from the left wanting to know more about Heather Lappin. And of course, we have given them a lot already. I think they're very curious about going in her direction, in her direction, because there's a distinct lack of trust for what Nanos has done, particularly the deaths in the jail, and then this report in particular.
That's what I keep telling our team. The way you're going to get those D's to cross over is keep talking about the deaths in the jail the time.
Yeah, that is true, and a lot of people felt that still never been adequately addressed. So.
When John Washington from the lefty Luminaria is pounding you constantly and doing real research, saying that basically statistically you got a better shot of surviving Rikers Island than Nanos' jail, that's what you pound him on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so, and that is exactly what he said, and he's accurate. So,
all right, let's get to this story. I do want to get... tell me about this longtime hospice volunteer, because I think this is a beautiful story.
This woman is named Jan Patrick, and in April, she was just jetting all over our community, 82, and has been on zero medications, and she's been a hospice volunteer for more than 20 years. This means she comes alongside people. It could be for a few months. It could be for years as they are dying, and she's just beautiful in that role. Well, she wakes up with a cough in early May. Long story short, cancer is all over her body, right down to her feet. I talked to her a week ago today, went over to her home and met with her, and she's, you know, extremely weak. She just has weeks to live, and she wanted to get the message out that she would love people to become hospice volunteers, just as she had, because it was so rewarding and it's such a blessing to people who, you know, you're ministering to, really. And so I recount in the story a couple of her experiences, and I try to capture just what a wonderful person Jan Patrick is and what an asset she has been to our community. But it tells you just how quickly things can turn. Literally one day you're running around the community, the next you're spending the rest of your life sitting on your couch. And it was a bold decision for her to not go for the chemo. She said, look, I'm 82. I don't know that I could even survive some of it. And it's a long shot. It would never get rid of the cancer. The chemo would never do that. In her case, it is so widespread. It would give her another 3 to 4 years. But of what? And that's the boldness of hospice, to say, I'm going to stop life-saving treatment, and I'm going to just try to enjoy my family and accept where I am in life. And that is tough to do, but she's quite an example for all of us.
Yeah, when I read this piece, right, there's the sadness of it, right? But then the idea that she has the proper perspective of the big picture of her soul, her relationship with God, and the idea that even in her dying weeks, she's out there pushing, look, what I did, because there's so many, everyone thinks that when they go to hospice, there's family always going to be around. There's a lot of people, lonely people, people who have no family or their family's not coming anytime soon, who die alone in hospice. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
And your friend here, Jan, is the only, that one last human connection they have in a positive manner before they go to meet their maker. It's important.
Well, having a friend who's dying is a really awkward thing for a lot of us. We just don't know what to say. We don't know how to act. We don't know what to do. And therefore, as you point out, sometimes they back off. People just back off from those relationships, which is really too bad. Whereas this is the time to go in there and just recount someone's life and laugh and look at photos and to really size things up. These are the people who have an opportunity to prepare to go. Some people just don't have that opportunity. They die in other ways. But it is a special person who can become a hospice volunteer. But we offer a couple of places you can call. You can call any hospice organization and say, tell me about your volunteer program. They would love to introduce you to it. So great, great woman. And I just really enjoyed my time with her.
No, great story. And you went in depth and, you know, it was, God bless Jan, man. What a great story. And on another up note here, because I still think that's an up note. Just, I only got about a minute or so. I love that our sisters are back. Midge and...
Yeah. Midge and Sue. And just running around Arizona. Again, they have printed four books and published four books, and they're in the black on them. You know, they're actually making a little bit of money at it, not much, but enough to get gas money to go on that next adventure. They basically do day trips or quick overnight trips around Arizona, and they moved here from New England, fell in love with the area about 15 years ago, and they've been on your show, and love you and what you do, and terrific people. We have more than 100 columns written by them.
Them being in the black, they didn't like, because they said, oh, now we got to pay taxes on this crap. And that's like, oh, that's it's my girls.
They're great.
I want them driving around with their taxation is theft t-shirts. Let's get going. So, hey, Dan, thanks for all that you do, man. Have a great rest of your week, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, top of the hour news. And then I think I want to play the Thomas Massie video about how Congress keeps going through this horrible ropes of pretending to do a budget. Wake up.